thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Well, now I have a message tonight for you, which I've entitled From Lockdown to Leadership. I hope it doesn't stir too many bad memories about lockdown. It seems such a long time ago now, doesn't it? But it was actually quite a short time ago, just a couple of years back, when we all were compelled to sit and look at each other all day long. And we broke that up a little by looking at the television maybe for a while. And then we looked at each other again for a little while. We were only allowed out once a week. And that was on a Thursday for a few minutes to clap for the NHS on the doorstep. Lockdown was a dreadful time, a horrible time. And it was a very cruel time for many, many families. But that's not the lockdown that I have in mind this evening. I'm thinking of the lockdown of an entire nation that we read about in the book of Judges, chapter 6. Judges, chapter 6. If you like, we'll read a few verses from the beginning of the chapter there. Judges, chapter 6, if you want to follow the reading with me. And we read there from verse 1, that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them, that they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And we'll just end the reading there, but keep your Bible open at Judges chapter 6. The nation of Israel needed a deliverer. They needed a hero. They needed a champion, one who would deliver them from this national lockdown. We read that the Midianites imposed what we might very well describe as a lockdown upon them. They made life for the Israelites intolerable. They completely frustrated the nation of Israel. They had to sow in secret. They had to do their business in secret. If they put their heads above the parapets at all, the Midianites, we read, were down on them, as we say, like the proverbial ton of bricks. Israel needed someone to emerge in this nation who would lead them from lockdown into liberty, one who himself would be led from lockdown into leadership. And of course, if you're familiar with the story here in Judges 6 and 7 and 8, you will know that that man was Gideon. We find him mentioned also in the book of Hebrews, in that great roll call of the heroes, the champions of faith. His name is but barely mentioned, but he's there nevertheless. And of him and of all the others who are listed in that great chapter, we read that they were made strong out of weakness. Out of weakness, they were made strong. And Gideon's story is the story of how he moved from cowering in the corner. And when we meet him in chapter 6, we find him in hiding. But the story goes on to show how he moved from that position of cowering in the corner to championing the cause for Israel. And it happened at a time when Israel needed a man of God to lead them from tyranny into triumph. When we meet the nation, we read that they are a country in defeat. They had brought it upon themselves. Their own sinfulness, their own evil in the sight of the Lord, as verse 1 describes it, brought the judgment of God upon them. And the judgment of God brought this lockdown to their nation. They had willfully ignored the law of God. And as we read generally in the book of Judges, every man did what seemed right in his own eyes, followed his own agenda rather than a heavenly agenda, put himself before God. And now the nation finds themselves paying the consequences. The nation, we read, was in lockdown. But there were some in the nation who had not entirely abandoned God, who had not entirely forgotten God, the God of their nation, the God of their history, the God of their heritage. And as we read on in chapter 6 of Judges, we find that some in the nation began to cry out to God. They saw that help and deliverance would only come from God. They looked around at their impoverished state. Their material impoverishment was great, but their moral and spiritual impoverishment was even greater. And indeed, dear friends, as we look around our own nation at this time, and as we view many of the nations of the world, they are in a similar situation, morally and spiritually bankrupt. God has been omitted from our economy, and as a result, we are morally and spiritually bankrupt, and some even financially, economically bankrupt as well. And oh, that some within our own nation would begin to cry to God, that God would come and deliver us, that God would raise up a people, as the hymn says, holy and free, hearts with a vision like unto thee, souls that would rather die than give in, lives with a passion, victory to win. And this cry from some within the nation became more and more earnest. It was a cry of desperation. They really needed the Lord to move. How often we seem to manage without the Lord until the crisis hits. And the crisis had hit, and they realized just how far they had removed themselves from God, just how deep their forgetfulness of God was. There's an old chorus, and I remember it being sung many times when I was a young man, and it went something like this. I'll not remember all the words, but it goes something like this, that anyone can sing when the sun is shining bright. Anyone can sing when the sun is shining bright, but you need a song in your heart at night. And you know, when things are going well for us, we can sing, we can cruise along, we can get along quite easily. But when the crisis hits, when the emergency hits, whether it hits us individually, or it hits the family, or it hits the church, or it hits the nation, then surely we realize our need of God. How low do we have to get, either as an individual or as a nation, until we begin to cry out to God in earnest? God, thank his wonderful name, heard their cry. And he raised up in the first instance a prophet who reminded them of their past. Verse 8 of Judges reads like this: "The Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also, I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice.'" God raised up this prophet to remind them again of the greatness of God, of the power of God, of the almightiness of God, and of the God of their history, the God who had moved in times past, times as desperate as those they were presently facing, and God had brought about their deliverance in a mighty way. When an angel of the Lord, or perhaps the angel of the Lord, as he's described in Judges chapter 10 and verse 11, appeared to Gideon. Gideon was in hiding. Gideon was in defeat. Gideon was in lockdown. We read of the angel coming and sitting under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Israel needed a champion, and the champion was living in denial. Israel needed a leader who would turn the nation back to God and turn the tables on their enemies. And Gideon was that man. Gideon was that champion. Gideon was that leader. But when we first meet him in chapter 6, he was a champion in denial. He was hiding. Like everyone else in Israel, he was hiding from the Midianites. He was taking a risk, hiding wheat, admittedly, from the enemy. He was risking being found and being punished. But like everyone else, he did it in secret. He was afraid. He was intimidated by the enemy. Fear causes lockdown. And perhaps tonight, that's the lockdown you're in, a lockdown to fear, fear of what lies ahead, fear of the future, fear of the consequences, perhaps, of actions that you've taken in the past, fear of the enemy that has loomed large against you. It may take various guises. It may come in the guise of a breakdown in health or a breakdown in wealth. It may take many forms, but it has you locked into a state of paralysis. And God wants to come tonight and lead you from lockdown into liberty. He wants to lead you from lockdown into leadership. I wonder, is the state that the church and the people of God find themselves in today because of fear. Because of fear at the rapid rate at which things are deteriorating in our nation. Fear of what might come next. Fear of persecution, perhaps. And it seems indeed that the scene is being set for that unless the Lord intervenes in our nation as the world and as our own nation, not least among the nations of the world, is becoming more and more programmed against decency, against that which is noble and that which is good, and that which, it may be argued, at one time made Britain great. And certainly following an anti-God agenda, where sin is legalized, whereas the prophet Isaiah said about the day that would come even in his day, so it has come to in ours, when what is evil is now called good, and what is evil, what is good, is now called evil. We cannot help but wonder if our nation, which once was prosperous and blessed, has come under the chastening hand of God because, like Israel did what seemed right in their own eyes, which usually means that it's evil in the eyes of the Lord. We need repentance in the nation. We need repentance in the church. The church has been so cowardly, so vacillating, so compromising, when it ought to have been a prophetic voice to the nation. It has barely raised a whisper in protest at what is happening in the land. So we find Gideon in hiding. Is that where you are tonight? Perhaps even hiding from God. Perhaps I speak to someone tonight and you don't yet know Christ as Savior. You're not yet a Christian in the biblical sense of that term. You're not saved. As Mark was saying a little earlier, you have not yet been to Jesus for the cleansing power of his precious blood, that blood that cleanses from all sin. Are you hiding from God? Are you hiding from the gospel? Are you hiding from that commitment? Are you hiding from that decision? Or perhaps I'm speaking to someone tonight and you're hiding from the will of God. You are anxious about what God may call you to do. You are anxious about what God might require from you, and you're hiding from God. You're a little bit like the prophet Jonah, perhaps, who tried to hide from God, first of all, by taking a ship that was leading him in the opposite direction to the direction of the will of God for his life. Is that what you're doing, paddling away from the will of God, hiding yourself lest you hear the voice of God, filling your mind and filling your being with all kinds of noises and activities and other senses so that the voice of God is quietened, it's muffled. You don't hear it. Could it be that you're hiding from a divine encounter, from a divine confrontation? You're trying to escape God, trying to escape the God who we work so hard to avoid, is, dear friends, a goose chase. He'll catch up with you. As he caught up with Jonah, as he caught up with Gideon, he'll catch up with you. He calls upon you tonight to surrender your heart and your life to him, to surrender your will to him. Come to him in honesty, as indeed Gideon did. Well, as though he was hiding, Gideon was honest. He was honest with the angel of the Lord. We believe the angel of the Lord in this instance to have been a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which the scripture shows us there are a number. And when the angel of the Lord confronted Gideon with the fact that he was the man God was looking for, he was Israel's champion, he was Israel's hero for the hour, he said to Gideon, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Now Gideon felt nowhere near being like a mighty man of valor. And he began to protest. He began to lay out his puny pedigree before the Lord. He began to tell the Lord just how little he was and just how humble he was and how he had come from the poorest of families and how he was the least in that family, and just he was honest with God. He didn't pretend. He didn't try a cover-up. He was honest about his doubts. When the angel said, "The Lord is with you," he said, if the Lord is with us. There was a big if there in that sentence. Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then aren't we seeing all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, "Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?" He led out his weaknesses. "How can I save Israel?" he said. He led out his insignificance. "I am the least in my father's house." Gideon was what he was, and that gives God something to start with. And although Gideon was hiding, and although he was reluctant to step forth and surrender himself to God at this hour, there is something about this meeting with the angel of the Lord which suggests that Gideon was anxious. He was hungry, if you like, hungry. Hiding and honest and hungry. He was hungry to see God move. He wanted to see God move. He wanted to see those miracles that he spoke about, which were part of Israel's history. He belonged to a generation that had not seen a move of God. He had heard about the miracles and the movings of God, but he hadn't seen it for himself. And could it be that there was something within Gideon that wanted to see that, that wanted to be part of that, that wanted to see God manifest his presence and his power again in the land? In spite of all his shortcomings, all his weaknesses, all his hang-ups about himself and his family, he had a heart and he had a hunger for God, it would seem, however little that may have been at the start. But it was something to start with. What about you and me? Well, we see mercy drops, don't we? And we thank God for them. Mercy drops round us are falling. Here and there, from time to time, we see special manifestations of the Lord which bless us and raise our hopes and raise our hearts. But are we seeing the showers of blessing? We too could be a generation that has not in the full sense of the expression seen God at work, seen God moving, seen God working supernaturally and miraculously among us. Yes, we have the little tidbits. Yes, we have the little raindrops. Yes, we have those little bits that scintillate us and encourage our interest. But are we seeing a full scale move of God? Don't we long to see it? Do we have a hunger for it? As Gideon apparently had. He may sound at first as though he was being skeptical and doubtful, but I believe there was something at the bottom of this man's heart that really wanted to be part of God manifesting his presence, God moving in power, God demonstrating to the world that he is God. Again, we go back a number of years, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the upbringing I had. I didn't become a Christian until I was a boy. I hadn't been brought up in a Christian home, but I thank God that the Lord so arranged my life that I moved in Christian circles and became a Christian early in life and became attached to a spirit-filled and a spirit-alive church also when I was young, when I was a young teenager. The Elam Church in Apsley Street, it's not there anymore in Belfast, but I thank God it was there when I needed it. And yes, there were times when we were caught up in the rapturous sense of God's presence. There were times when we undoubtedly God saw move among us in the miraculous, but even then it was not as others had told us. Those pioneers of Elam, for example, who saw George Jeffreys in his heyday, another great evangelist at that same time of the Pentecostal outpouring, and saw miracle upon miracle upon miracle, miracles that reached the headlines of the papers, miracles that saw thousands healed across Great Britain, miracles that saw lorry loads of wheelchairs and crutches being transported away from the miracle meetings where God is moving, miraculous signs and wonders being done. We saw a little, but they saw that move of God. And in our day, in our generation, yes, we're seeing a little, but we long for that move of God. We long for that revival. We've been locked down long enough, and we want to see God breaking out, and we need to break out if God is going to break out, that we might see the Lord move as he has moved in times past. Is there room in your heart tonight for the Lord? Is there room in your heart tonight to spend time seeking God, to seek God to move as we long, as we yearn, indeed as we cry that he would and he might? Gideon was humbled. The remainder of Gideon's story tells of the transformation in his life. He moved very slowly, but at least he began to move in the right direction. He needed a great deal of assurance, and God conceded to his weakness and gave him sign after sign. You can read about it in those three chapters, beginning at chapter 6 there in the book of Judges. But gradually, progressively, little by little, step by step, stage by stage, Gideon became the man. He became the champion. He became the leader that God intended him to be. Just think of the signs that God has conceded to us as well. Signs that Gideon never saw. God sent us Jesus. And we have the gospel accounts of the life of Jesus. The miraculous life of Jesus. The gracious life of Jesus. God gave the cross. The cross on which, thank God, tonight we can look back. Gideon could only look forward to it. We look back to it. God has given us the sign of the cross, that He is mighty to save, that He works two plans, and His plans are to prosper. His plans are that the people of God might flourish. His plans are that we may lay hold upon Him and upon His promises and upon His word and see Him move. That He might deliver us from lockdown, some into leadership, all into liberty. And as we look back through our individual lives, think of the people God has brought into our lives. People who have taught us the word, Sunday school teachers, faithful ministers, friends, mentors. Those who have been an example to us. I can look back to the church life that I enjoyed as a young man and many of the choice saints of God made a big impression upon my life then. I remember prayer meetings that were power meetings where there wasn't just a few little homilies given or a few simplistic little prayers prayed, but were men and women too meant business with God. Were you sat in rooms with people who knelt at their chairs and got so caught up with God as they prayed that they were lifting the very chair into the air and banging it down on the floor as in earnestness they called upon God. Those weren't histrionics. Those weren't look at me occasions. Those were men and women caught up in the presence of God. I think of people who, if you were missing, even for 1 week, they wanted to know why. Is there something wrong? Because they were anxious about you. They were anxious about you going on with God. They were anxious about you going through with God. Could you and I be that sort of person to someone? Think of what God has brought into our lives, the seeming coincidences that cause us again to face the issue of our soul's salvation. Not that not to humble us before Him and cause us to surrender to His will and let Him have His way in our lives. My urge tonight is that we come to God with honesty. That we come to God with humility. That we come to God with hunger in our hearts. That we might see God move first in our own lives. And that might have its effect upon others. It did for Gideon and his family, and indeed for his neighborhood. It all had to start with Gideon at home. On his father's ground, there was an idol. There was an erection of a Baal statue. And that had to come down before Gideon could unreservedly give himself to God. All other idols had to be toppled All other idols had to be demolished. All other idols had to fall. And the Bible tells us that Gideon knew he had to start there. He wasn't quite the leader yet that God intended him to be, and so rather than do it by day, he did it by night. But the thing is, he did it. He did it. And isn't it time we did something for God? And there'll be those who'll criticize the way you do it. Oh, Gideon, you could have done that by day and let everybody see it instead of doing it by night. But I tell you, at least he did it. They didn't do it, either by day or by night. There are people who are very good at criticizing you for what you do, even though they do nothing themselves. Do something for God that nails your colors to the mast. Lift up your voice in witness. Later we read that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And from that moment, he was able to amass an army to himself, an army, yes, that God greatly reduced, but from that he was able to face the Midianites. He was able to defeat the Midianites. He was able to banish them from the land of Israel, and the nation was led from lockdown to liberty as Gideon was led from lockdown to leadership. The Spirit of God came upon him. Friend, you need the Spirit of God. Believer, you need the Spirit of God. You need his anointing. You need his fullness. You need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You need power from on high. That power will lead you out of whatever has you locked down tonight. Are you locked down by sin? Jesus can set you wonderfully and gloriously free. Are you locked down by fear? Likewise, he can break that chain and set you gloriously free. Are you tonight locked down by circumstances? The Lord God can intervene in those circumstances. He can change things around. He is a God who does radical, revolutionary things. Believe in God tonight and be led from lockdown, perhaps even to leadership, and certainly to liberty. Let's pray together, shall we? And just as we bow our heads in prayer, may I urge you to do business with God in these, the closing moments of the meeting before we hand back to Mark. If tonight you've heard the gospel, you've been under conviction of sin, you know your need to be saved, you've heard it many, many times, and somehow or another you've shunned it, you've tried to avoid it, you've come to that moment of decision, and you have tried to divert yourself from that, and so far successfully. But tonight, dear friends, tonight is the night to surrender. Tonight is the night to yield. Tonight is the night to be saved. Now, as Mark reminded us earlier, is the day of salvation. Don't put this off any longer. But right now, and certainly before this meeting ends and you go home tonight, get right with God. Surrender your heart and soul and will and all into his hands. Be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Or is there someone here, and like Jonah, you've been trying to hide from God's will? God has been laying matters on your heart. God has been leading you in a certain direction, and it's not the direction you want to go. Yield to him. You'll have no peace until you do. Go through with God. Let him take you and guide you. Let him fill your life with fresh assurance and fresh anointing. And if there's someone tonight and you've wandered from God, you've allowed a great gulf between him and you to arise. Not that he has left you, but you have gradually, almost without realizing it, moved further and further away from God. No longer that close walk with God. No longer that intimate walk with God. You come back to God tonight. You come back to God. Gracious, loving God, speak into every heart and life. Ignite, O God, a spark of spiritual life in each and every one of us. O God, that will become a great flame, a great fire that will burn up the sin. It will burn up the dross, will burn up the unholy within us, and set us, O God, ablaze for yourself. Touch the hearts of the unsaved. Touch the hearts of your people. Touch the hearts of those who are wandering. Touch the hearts of those, O God, who have settled for second best. Touch the heart of us all, O God, that we might long for more of you, for a deeper manifestation of your power in our lives and indeed in our land. And O God, we pray, if tonight we are in any bondage, if tonight, O God, we are held by any fetter, O God, break those chains that bind, we pray, and set your people free. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.